This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. We're at a point in the year when the explosions of 2020 are giving way to some fresh starts. At the Museum of Contemporary Art Detroit, a curator who left amid a wrenching conversation about equity has rejoined the staff. Jova Lin was first appointed to an endowed curator position at MOCAD in December 2019. As you may have heard, she was one of several curators, all people of color, who were recruited for the position and who made early exits. Now, MOCAD has been through a leadership change, and Jova Lin is back. A graduate of Cranbrook who's shown work in Kingston, Jamaica, Berlin, and Detroit, she joins us now. Jova Lin, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, April. Nice to talk to you.
Can we just maybe dial back the clock a little bit? And I wonder if you would tell me about what your hopes were when you first got recruited to work at MOCAD and what the opportunity meant to you.
Well, I first joined MOCAD as a curatorial fellow. You know, I had all this background in museum life, but was coming from more of a public programming and education background. So I was just really excited to get my hands in the curatorial role, more so for exhibitions. And so when I arrived at MOCAD, coincidentally enough, I arrived at a time when there was no curator. You know, I was hopeful. There was another curatorial fellow there at the time, and I wanted to be a part of what MOCAD was doing. But at the same time, it was a little overwhelming. So I was kind of thrown into the deep end pretty quickly and pretty early on, and had to take on a lot in a very short amount of time because there was nobody who could really do that work there.
Yeah.
And so from the beginning, you know, museum life is not, it's still a laborious role, right? And
yeah.
So I think there's a lot of overwork, a lot of inequity in pay, a lot of silencing that happened. And I was like, you know, I'm here to have this experience. I really want to just keep going. I felt like a part of my goal was to really try to interact with local artists, specifically marginalized artists. So making an effort to uplift the craft of artists who I really like respected and who were working kind of in the margins here in Detroit.
For those who don't know, MOCAD is a non-collecting museum, and it's most of its work has to do with supporting all kinds of contemporary artists, which means that the people who are acting as curators are having to build and maintain those relationships all the time, figure out money for exhibitions, and actually making the exhibitions happen. And all this was going on at a time when Detroit's position in the art world carried a pretty high premium. You've worked at other institutions in New York and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to ask when you came in, how did MOCAD stack up?
Totally different. you know, YVCA is non-collecting and Museum of the Moving Image is collecting.
Those are the two places that you worked. YVCA is the Yerba Buena Contemporary Art Museum in San Francisco.
Correct.
Yeah.
And those are also larger institutions with, I think, each institution has around between 70 and 200 people on staff. MOCAD has 22 staff people full time. And both of those institutions are endowed and MOCAD is not. And so coming to MOCAD, it was less about how it stacked against those institutions and more about being sort of hands-on in a way that I wasn't at those institutions with such a small staff. Curatorial, when I arrived, was about four or five people, big department. And so it's awesome in the sense that you get to work very closely with artists and have a lot of agency, and challenging in the sense that because the endowment isn't there, it's very easy to become overworked very quickly.
Yeah. Your professional career has also coincided with this period in which all art institutions all across the United States have been forced into a reckoning with how they have treated people of color as artists,
yep,
as visitors, as donors, and also as employees. And I mean, this has been really rough. Top spots like the Whitney Museum and MoMA in New York have had really difficult conversations that have exposed that even the best in this industry are not doing a great job. So, mm-hmm. I mean, what were your expectations for how, you know, as a Black woman, you'd be interacting at MOCAD?
You know, I thought that because it was smaller, my experience would actually be different, but it was in many ways, and also the same in many ways, you know, that sort of inequity that permeates the entire art world was still there. Being in a predominantly Black city, I feel very, and have always felt very supported by artists and by the community and very seen. But I think when it came to institutional life itself, there was an erasure of the work I was doing and of my experience. And I quickly became exploited. I think that there's this idea that if somebody is in the arts, or if somebody is as an artist or an arts professional, that museums are there to sort of highlight their work. So it's like, okay, you can have a show with us and this is going to be a stepping stone in your career, right? Mm-hmm. But the challenge is then the standard labor practices aren't met because you're always trying to open a door for somebody else or take it as, this is something I'll add to my resume. It's okay that I'm being treated unfairly because in the long run, it's going to be help me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think what we're seeing in places like the Whitney and the Met is like this incredible contradiction where a lot of funders, patrons, etc., want to support the museum to make it accessible to the public. And at the same time, the same public that they're trying to serve, which includes marginalized persons, is also the group of people who they're oppressing at the museum. And so I think the sort of coinciding realities of COVID-19, of Black Lives Matter, sort of enabled this conversation regarding labor to really be exposed in a way that I don't think it had before, and really sort of challenge the way people think about equity, and specifically regarding payment and the sort of usurping of the energy and time of staff of color without an adequate reward or payback for that. And I mean that literally in the amount that folks are getting paid, but also in the amount of resources that folks have access to who are doing this work, often alone, often being the only person of color on staff, often without voice, and sort of that being a very obvious issue across museums.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking today to Jova Lynn, Senior Curator at the Museum of Contemporary Art Detroit. Would you be comfortable sharing some experiences with us that sort of showed you, you know, how things were going to be there?
I can share one experience that I had, which is I was putting together a public program series that was actually the brainchild of Scott Campbell, who's a brilliant artist and curator, came up with this public program called The Intersection. And I pitched to an artist whose name is Colleen Smith. She's a video artist, Black woman, who centers stories from African American life, but within an Afrofuturist context, specifically looking at birds. And something that's interesting about her work is she works with crows, and the plural of crow is a murder.
A murder of crows, right?
Yeah, a murder of crows. So she was looking at the murders that have happened to Black folks across the nation and sort of relating it to crows. And we had this program, again, called The Intersection, which looked at science and the arts. And, you know, I was trying to get an ornithologist, scientist, someone who studies birds, to be in conversation with Colleen to sort of talk about this phenomena of like migration and murder and the plural and all these things. And unfortunately, the person who we got to speak with, Colleen, had a family death and couldn't talk. And so Colleen asked us to cancel the event. And leadership was, specifically Alicia, was very, very hesitant to cancel the program.
That's the then executive director, Alicia Borowi-Reeder. Yeah.
Yeah. So she kept telling me this was unacceptable. We had a contract. It was unacceptable. I was new to the job and I was like, well, what should I do? I'm not going to force her to get on a plane. You know, the artist was in LA. And Alicia said, we need to send her an email telling her this is unacceptable and unprofessional. And at the time, I felt like I had no choice but to listen to her, even though my instincts told me it was wrong. And that I should also, for additional context, say the person who Colleen was going to speak with was also a Black woman.
The ornithologist,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so I ended up having to send Colleen an email that was one of the biggest regrets of my career. And it was essentially berating the artist, which was inappropriate. And in retrospect, I realized because it was an issue with contract, that message shouldn't have come from me. It should have come from the director.
Mm-hmm.
And Colleen, I sent the email and she wrote me back saying that there's no way in hell she could believe a Black woman would say this to another Black woman, and that I had a poor leader and a poor mentor in Alicia, and that she hoped that I could find my voice somewhere else because what I had said to her was unacceptable. And so I bring that up to say, like, this was pretty early on in my time at MOCAD, and it was one of those things where I felt so powerless and so used and so frustrated and so tokenized. And that's when I started paying attention to how much we paid artists of color versus white artists, how the institution, specifically the leadership, specifically Alicia, spoke to white artists versus Black artists and people of color. And that moment sort of changed my life. I think that was the beginning. And again, it was towards the beginning. So it's interesting how this came full circle, towards the beginning of when I realized I was being tokenized, I was being used, and I was being put in compromising positions that really impacted me as a Black woman, as well as my community as a whole.
You know, I want to return back for a moment to what we were talking about, that the reckoning is really happening across the art world. And at risk of sounding like we're letting smaller institutions off the hook, given that some of the largest and most well-resourced institutions in the United States, really not just in the art world, but all across the nonprofit sector and the business world, have not done a great job with equity issues, what does it mean that we're holding an institution of MOCAD size to this standard? Is it possible for a smaller institution to do what larger ones have not done?
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, I think that the nice thing about MOCAD being small and having a leadership, and when I say leadership, I'm talking about the board. You know, MOCAD actually has a 35-person board, which is pretty large, considering the size of the institution. But one thing that I have appreciated about the board in this time is that they're really listening and open to change. And I think that a part of the reckoning that's happening is, or that needs to happen, that I think larger institutions are grappling with, is sort of how the board reacts to these things. I think that for MOCAD to have a board a similar size to an institution that has a 300-person staff, as an example, for the board to be actively doing this work, it feels like it's a potential model for larger institutions. And I hope that our larger institutions start to look at what's happened with MOCAD and really think about the possibility if, when faced with change, of what's possible. You know, sometimes they say you have to start small to go big. And I don't necessarily know if I believe that, but I would say in this instance, museums like the Whitney, like MoMA, et cetera, have so much to learn from places like MOCAD in affecting change. I think what workers are asking for is so basic, right? Like hazard pay, more opportunities to get into promotions or stronger leadership roles. creating more opportunities for diverse staff membership. Like, these are all things that museums should have already been striving for, because again, their purpose is to serve the public. And so it doesn't seem that hard in terms of what I understand. However, I think that there's still a lot for folks to learn within that, and I hope they're paying attention.
We've alluded to this already, but the executive director, Alicia Borowy-Reeder, is no longer at MOCAD. The board separated their contract with her. What made you feel confident about coming back? The kind of culture that people have had concerns about goes beyond what one person does or allows to happen. What made you feel like you wanted to get back to this work at this particular place?
Well, so we had a couple of things going on. You have the letter from former staff, which I think was signed by over 70 people. You had a letter from community members that was signed by over 300 local artists and arts practitioners. And then there was also a letter to the board that was signed by 11 out of 14 staff members. And I think all of that combined, all of that hope, all of that honesty, all of that passion is something that I couldn't ignore in returning. I think that if there's one thing to be said, it's that people in Detroit care about MOCAD and want MOCAD to be a place with best practices. And I think what really made me want to be okay with going back and be excited about it is recognizing that I'm actually not alone in this. Recognizing that the community is holding MOCAD accountable and is having those hard conversations. And I didn't want to leave that work undone. I didn't want to run away from it. It's hard work, but it's important work. And the MOCAD board has showed up in a way that I've never seen before. And so community support, current staff support, and board support, I had to give it a go.
Jova Lin is a senior curator at the Museum of Contemporary Art Detroit. Jova, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Jova also told us that there's an awful lot coming down the pipeline at MOCAD, and she's excited about several exhibitions on the calendar. You can get information at MOCAD's website. We reached out to former executive director Alicia Borowy-Reeder and asked if she would be willing to comment on our conversation today. If she does take that opportunity, we'll bring that to you in the weeks ahead. Arts and culture coverage on Stateside is supported in part by an award from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.